B-Pod Studios.
Because they played so bad last night, by the way, Zion Smith didn't get to show up and play.
Yeah, I was hoping the same thing.
Correct. Yeah, you're hoping for a blowout, and he was going to get some minutes and this and that just to see him. You know, and of course it didn't happen. But the defense, again, you know, as Bob was saying and things like that, this is their biggest issue. Against the Toronto, against the Cleveland, who, I forget the kid's name, you know, who had, again, a career night, the usual against the Sixers, a career night, 20-something points. You know, it's just, and Sexton's lighting them up. They're just playing no defense whatsoever. And it just drives me nuts. And I hate to say this, but I think Brett Brown's message and his voice is just getting old to the Sixers team. They don't come out motivated at all. There's no reason. Like I said, they're supposed to be the second, besides Golden State, top five starting five. But yet they don't show it. They can't be. I'm sick of like the chemistry. You got four guys.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Bill. And I'm gonna put you in the running for our Sixers tickets, man. Good talking to you again. Good venting. But here's the thing that you do have to guard against if you're Brett Brown. And the fact that you have been here a long time, regardless of whether or not the team was trying to lose in the early goings of his time here, 3 years, three plus years while he was here in Philadelphia, that's not his fault. But the part that is whether or not he can make his voice not get old and fall on deaf ears. Because that is what can happen when you're in one place for a long period of time. I know that the talent's here now, and that's going to be the ultimate test. But another test for Brett is whether or not he can tap into his players to motivate him.
Yeah, if the talent that was here had been here or has been here a long time, then that would be, I think, more warranted. I mean, you're basically only talking Ben Simmons, TJ McConnell, Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like the three guys that have been here throughout with Brett Brown. So, but yeah, he can't lose the first two guys. I don't think he has. I don't think he's close to doing that. But this lack of motivation, this lack of energy at the beginning of games is really concerning me.
Adam Schefter, just to let our listeners know, Adam Schefter just called us and let us know that he got called into some ESPN responsibilities. So something could be cooking up. He's going to join us at 8:30 instead of right now, unfortunately. But my man's getting some things done. 610-632-0975.
Imagine his cell phone the last 48 hours.
I'm looking at him on ESPN right now. His eyes, he looks like, look at him. You see him, Trey?
Oh, yeah, he's
tired. His eyes look like he hasn't slept in days.
I feel bad for that, man.
Yeah. He broke the Le'Veon Bell news live with Van Pelt on SportsCenter last night.
Around what time was that?
Well, I think his tweet went out at 12:50. I want to say it was live with Van Pelt, like 12:40, 12:45 maybe.
All right. Well, right now you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. If you're just turning on the radio, Adam Schefter will join us at 8:30 today, 28 minutes from right now. Side note, I'm getting a little hate for nachos. People asking me, no sour cream?
I'm not a sour cream guy.
I hate sour cream.
No, I'm not a sour cream guy.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah,
that's very
Bob.
Weird.
Come on, complete it.
Yeah, nachos? No, not really. Sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not.
Maybe
I am not.
You a guac man?
Oh, I hate guac.
What?
Oh, I know.
Oh, no, guac is amazing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like guac.
There was guac on a hoagie yesterday, and it was
delicious.
No, I didn't.
It wasn't guac. It was avocado.
Oh, it was avocado.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
My fault.
Yeah,
I don't like avocado on my hoagie either.
Let's get Justin up here in South Philly. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Not much. What's going on, everybody?
Hey,
all right. Listen to you guys every morning.
Thanks, brother.
I want to talk about the two great wide receiver pickups in the NFL this last couple days. D-Jack for a 6th-round pick? Are you kidding me? Howie just straight up fleeced Tampa Bay again.
Look, it's something that has bothered the Eagles since Deshaun left. I mean,
right, they've had no over-the-top threat.
Like, I feel like Torrey
comes right back and is perfect fit.
Oh, absolutely. Torrey Smith, obviously, they won a Super Bowl with him, but, I mean, he was supposed to be that burner. He wasn't necessarily that. Mike Wallace was supposed to be that as well. He had to deal with injuries all throughout last year. That has been something that has evaded the Eagles since he left. Jeremy Maclin, even the year after Deshaun was released by Chip Kelly and the Eagles, Maclin had a good year, but, I mean, that deep threat wasn't there nearly as much as it was with D-Jax.
Yeah, but Maclin was a possession receiver. Like, he wasn't somebody to go flying down the field. D-Jax always has been, right? So the other awesome acquisition is for the Browns. I mean, let's talk about a team who has screwed up every single first-round pick that they've had except for Baker Mayfield, right? They finally got something. Somebody in the GM's office decided, you know what? We've screwed up enough. Let's go for a sure thing. Get a wide receiver that Baker Mayfield can throw to. And I'm sorry, but I'm looking at that as the biggest win for the Cleveland Browns in history in terms of what they traded for a draft pick, right? Because you're going with the unknown for the draft pick. You got a 1,000-yard receiver consistently now on a second or third year quarterback who can throw the ball. They won more games last year than they did in 4 years or something like that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the Giants, again, are doubling down, putting their head in the sand with Eli, and they have a running back. That's literally all they have.
Right, right. But the other part of this, Justin, is that when you talk about that front office of the Cleveland Browns, it's not necessarily getting people to, you know, getting good picks. They got a new GM. I mean, John Dorsey, you know, broke it off, or Andy Reid broke it off with John Dorsey in Kansas City. Dorsey goes to Cleveland and actually puts in a decent draft a year ago, and now he's going to try to do it again.
Yeah, well, but they have a lot of picks, because they've traded a lot of stuff off, right? So, I mean, because of they traded the pick to us for during Carson Wentz year.
Yeah, that was before Dorsey, but yeah, I understand. Yeah,
right. But so they do have some picks stocked up, which is good. And Dorsey is a great GM. So, I mean, you know, honestly, I think there's nothing but upward movement for Cleveland, and it's great for the Eagles because New York looks like a dumpster fire, like you said earlier. Washington, let's face it, until their owner gets out of his own way, like, they're not going to do anything.
You're right.
And Dallas, I mean, come on, fire the coach and you might actually have something there. But the East looks pretty wide open for the Eagles to just take over.
Yeah, we were joking at the break, Justin, and thanks for the call. You're in the running for our Sixers tickets there. We got Sixers tickets we're giving away today to the Thursday night, March 28th game against the Brooklyn Nets. Also, we're giving away in that a spot in our knockout tournament that we're having on the court after that game. You can also register for a spot in that competition on our contest page at 975thefanatic.com. So, Justin, you're in the running there.
Yeah, that's a big day, right?
What's that?
March 28th?
March 28th. Big day. Oh, opening day. Jeez.
Yeah, afternoon baseball, Sixers, Nets, double dip.
So this is going to be
big day.
Opening day to the Sixers.
Which should be a national holiday.
Opening day?
Yes.
Absolutely, it should be.
Everybody, kids are off of school.
Here's two national.
No work gets done.
Two work, or actually really three work influence, or excuse me, sports influence national days off should be the day, or opening day, the day after the Super Bowl. And the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Which is National Vasectomy Day.
Yes, it is. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Yeah, Thursday of the tournament is National Vasectomy Day, because then guys can take off Thursday, Friday, ice up on Friday, watch games all day.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Look forward to that vasectomy.
I did it on Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, there you go, Bob. Yeah.
But I agree. That money. I always wish it was Super Bowl Saturday.
So how did that feel?
My buddy said it was terrifying when he had it done, because you look down and all you see is like basically like soldering irons basically like working down there. And you, like, not to be gross, but you can like smell skin.
All right.
Yeah.
But Bob, you went through it. So how was that?
Yeah. That's fun.
Was that an accurate description, Bob?
I don't. So the guy that was doing it to me was a sports fan. And he decides, like,
God,
I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
5 minutes God, in, no. He decides, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I know you. You're on that Daily News Live show, right?
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. So he tells me he's a Yankees fan. He decides to, like, stop working and keep talking. Now, mind you, there's a nurse also standing over there. And I, like, at one point I did have to say, can we just, like, I have to, and I literally did the show. This was, like, 1 p.m, and I went into Daily News Live at 5 o'clock. So it's not that bad.
You're a warrior, Bob.
But you were totally exposed, and the nurse there, and he's just sitting there.
And he's sitting there telling me, yeah, well, in 57, when I was a Yankees fan, I went to a game one time. My dad took me, and I'm like, dude, let's go. And then, you know, so what do you think about the Sixers this year? I'm like, time and place. Probably not it.
Yeah.
You know?
We don't want to talk about ball.
If we're going to talk balls, let's change the subject to what's more important right now.
A lot of ball in that conversation already. We're good on on that one.
Yeah. I was good not even having it, to tell you the truth.
Ah, go figure. I wonder, we should give one away. We should give away. We should give one away. We should have a contest on the air.
I'll look into that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have.
Do we know a Dr. Snippy?
What is it?
I'm sure we do.
Is it Thursday? A week from this Thursday, tomorrow is the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Uh-huh.
We can pull that together by then.
Yeah, it'll snip.
Yeah. the ideas. Sam, do you have a Twitter poll for us, brought to you by Window Nation?
This morning we asked, would you have done the deal for Le'Veon Bell? 4 years max, $61 million, $35 million guaranteed. And we have just under 3,000 votes so far. 66% said they would not do the deal.
I'm shocked that it's that many that would not do the deal. That is actually absolutely shocking to me. Mike in Downingtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Dude, the snippity snip was the worst thing I ever did. Don't do it.
When did you have it done? Did you have it done on a strategic day, or was it just whenever you could?
Whenever I could. You know, 2 years later, get divorced. New girlfriend wants a kid. You're just like, you're out of luck.
Mike, how old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when you got the vasectomy?
36.
Wow, brother. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it is what it is. Anyway.
Well, Jamie can help you out if you need a step in.
listen, though, the Giants are obviously in a fire sale, right?
Yes.
Or at least selling. Okay, so we have cap problems the next 2 years, 3 years. How about sending them a first, two firsts, and a second, and getting Saquon from them? Because obviously they're going after draft picks. They don't need Saquon. They're not going to be able to do anything with him for the next 2 years. Why not try and, you know, Kevin Costner on draft day him?
I would. I love Saquon Barkley. I said it earlier. If he's not going to be, if he's not going to be the best back ever, he could be certainly one of the best backs ever in the history of the NFL. That's how good I think he is. He was a great pick. I just don't understand their method. There's no method to their madness. You don't build around a running back. I mean, that's just crazy to me. If they would have done this maybe a year ago, would have taken who's the kid now?
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. With the Jets, then it would have made sense. But to try to make this something where you're building around a running back makes zero sense.
I know. So let's go fleece them. Two firsts and a second. We have them.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 seconds this year. I mean, realistically, they're early seconds anyway, because our first are ended up being 26 through 28, hopefully, you know, maybe 32. But let's see if we could get them for three of those. They're obviously a total rebuild.
I'm in. I'm doing it. I would not let a first and a second round pick for Saquon Barkley get in my way. I'm making that happen in a heartbeat.
Ask Shefty, man. Go to Shefty and be like, start the rumors. First and a second for Saquon.
Yo, start the rumors.
Mike, the only reason I'd hold off on doing it, I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason I would hold off on doing it was that would give the Giants 3 first round picks in 1 year.
Who cares?
You don't care. Yeah, I take Saquon.
I'll do it. All right. Good enough for me, Mike. I'm going to put you on hold. Sorry about your vasectomy. And you're in the running for the Sixers tickets, though, so let's look on the bright side. Coming up in 18 minutes, we'll talk to Adam Schefter about all things free agency, all things NFL free agency, all things NFL offseason. The new league year starts officially at 4 p.m. today. 610-632-0975. We got Mateo, we got Dean, and then we got you. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll hear from Brett Brown and Joel Embiid about what he thought about his own performance last night and what Brett could have done to maybe motivate these guys off the bench. Time at the Fanatic, 8:13.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Simmons with the dribble outside right. Right-hand dribble. Picks it up. Throws it to Joel. Embiid with 2 men around him. Off-balance leaner. Nobody, but he dunked it. Oh, man. A powerful rebound putback. Sixers by 3.
Joel Embiid last night getting things done for the Sixers. Now, Trey, As great as he was at the to end that game.
Yeah.
Six turnovers. Throughout the game. Six of the Sixers. 21 turnovers. So if you ask Joel Embiid after the game, hey, JoJo, 17 points, 19 rebounds, not too shabby, six turnovers. How would you describe your own game?
I was trash.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, yeah, you cough up the ball a couple of times, six, more than a couple, but you're not gonna. I don't know.
I was trash.
I like the.
Is that last night or is that a drop from before?
No, that was last night. He said that.
Oh, I didn't hear him say that last night.
He has said before.
So trash.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the drop one. I have.
Right.
He'll rip himself, and you gotta love that.
Yeah, I mean, when you set a high standard.
When you see him come out of the game with 17 points, I mean, that is kind of, yeah. It's not the Embiid that we're used to seeing.
Well, the good thing was that last night Ben Simmons had 26 points.
Yeah.
And you're not used to seeing that kind of consistent on offense from Ben Simmons from first quarter to fourth quarter. He shot 10 of 16 from the floor. All right. 6 of 8 from the foul line. Bob, you had the numbers earlier.
Let's talk about this, huh?
Yeah, go. What are those numbers?
How about over his last six games?
All right.
25 for 32 from the foul line for 78%.
Not too bad there, Mr. Right? Ben Simmons.
I have never seen Ben Simmons sweat.
No, Jamie brought that up a lot. He doesn't
seem
to sweat.
And I paid attention to it last night. I'm like, this guy has been out
here. He doesn't do it.
Balling. I mean, running up and down.
He's
the field.
He's playing 40 minutes
hard,
a game.
And does not sweat.
It's concerning. I don't think he's human.
It was funny. I was going to ask Brett last night, because he mentioned J.J. Redick's going to get some time off coming here soon. Of course, you had Jimmy Butler last night. You have to wonder if Tobias Harris. I was going to ask him if Ben Simmons, it was in my mind, is going to get some time off. Then I walk past him in the locker room after he gets done his workout before the game, and I'm like, he doesn't need time off. The guy doesn't even sweat.
I think Ala mentioned it potentially last night. He was like, oh, yeah, maybe Ben will get the rare, unheard-of game off, but you never know.
Maybe he wants to. He's missed one so far?
Yeah.
All right, so he can't go for the perfect 82.
Yeah.
But, you never know.
And by the way, on the other note, if Joel Embiid is trash with 17 and 19, that just tells you what a ridiculous talent this dude is.
What did he have, three blocks, two last night?
Yeah, he was pretty incredible. Absolutely
if that's
incredible
his worst,
last night.
Okay.
Yeah, if he feels like, all right, I had 17 points, all right, that was trash, all right. But, I mean, he's a ridiculous player.
Four blocks, and he had a clutch turnover at the end of that game. A takeaway, I should say. After his dunk. 51 seconds left. Gets the putback jam that you just heard from Tom McGinnis last night here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Then forces a turnover at the end of the game to close it out even more. 51 seconds left. He puts the Sixers up three or with that dunk. I believe. No, he puts them up one. By three with that dunk, and then they're able to close out the game from there. Joel Embiid goes to the line for the final 4 points of the game for himself and actually really solidifies it. The 106-99 win for those 10-9-8 76ers. Brett Brown, though, after the game was asked about this. Now, this was something that I thought was interesting. No free throws for the Sixers in the first half of the game. And how many turnovers in the first half?
Like 14.
14.
No free throws, though. Brett Brown was asked about that type of mentality and what that means to him when he doesn't see his team going to the free throw line.
I think anytime I see zero free throws, I go straight to a mentality, and I hate it. You know, I don't like it. I think when you come in at halftime and you have 14 turnovers and zero free throws, you know, that's not a good offensive statistic. That's not a good sign, obviously. And I think that the lack of free throws for me is always about a mentality, and we did a better job in the second half, but the first half was poor.
I think the person that gets criticized the most for not going to the line is Ben Simmons, or not having that mentality, especially later in games, because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. Can't use that excuse anymore, especially as you just mentioned, Bob, in March, he's, what, 78% from the line?
Yeah.
I don't know how the coach can get it through the rest of the team's head, but they need to be more aggressive in the first half.
But is that a knock on the players, or is that Cleveland was doing a smart, playing smart defense, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it reeks of, like, settling.
Yeah.
You know, settling for jump shots. You know, like, in the NBA, you can force a shooting foul almost any time you want as an individual. Tobias Harris, give him a ball, isolate him. He's either going to score or get fouled.
Mm-hmm.
It was baffling to me, yeah. I said it before, I just don't like. It's almost like this team's playing timid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you don't know each other, you know, ooh, are you going to do that? Oh, you want me to do, excuse me, pardon me. You know, like, right. They're kind of playing that way, whereas I would like to see you make the mistakes playing harder, playing hard and go, look, you play you. Jimmy Butler, you play you. We'll figure it out. Don't play to the team for now. You play you and then let Brett figure it out from there. I just haven't seen that a lot lately, and you know, it concerns me.
I had a coach used to use the phrase, aggressive mistake. I'd rather see an aggressive mistake than a passive mistake.
Yeah.
Like not doing something because, oh, I want, you know, being hesitant about it. I'd rather see you be aggressive, like show conviction out
right.
there.
Just yeah.
Find somebody to hit. He was a football coach of mine. Just find somebody and hit him.
Yeah. It's like we were always taught if there's a loose ball and two of you on the same team are going after it, don't assume the other guy's going to get it. Both go after the ball. Always right. go. It's that kind of mentality that I think this team kind of needs right now.
Dean in Mount Airy, what did you think of that Sixers game last night?
What's going on? Hey, well, I like Ben. I love what Ben was doing. And normally Ben sets up a play, but I love that he was going straight to the rack, into the room. And he cut his turnovers down, which is great. And he wasn't afraid to shoot at the line. I mean, they struggled overall, but it's theory with me is just win. You know what I mean?
They did that, and thanks to their superstar, they were able to close out that game. Now, Ben kept them in the game, it felt like, throughout. But really, right. in the final minutes of that game, Joel Embiid really stepped up.
Yeah, he really did. But see, I still think Joe is still getting acclimated to being out so long. And, you know what I mean? And just like the thing when people want to leave, that poll you had with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do
it. Yeah, would you do it?
No. Because he hasn't played in a year, and Willie didn't play, so he don't have no physical he don't have no reaction time to getting physical contact. Even though he was healthy and he's good, you know what I'm saying?
Huh? Does that year off really matter, Trey?
No, but you still got to get acclimated.
No, he's asking the former player.
Yeah, let me ask Trey real quick.
Dean, I'm going to put you on hold, put you in the running for those tickets. Does that matter, Trey?
For a running back, you know, for him to take that time off, I think. You know, you're not getting beat up. You know,
yeah,
you're
just it's good working for him. Out. Yeah,
fresh. Yeah, he's going to come back fresh, you know.
All right, on the line with us right now from ESPN, the man has been wheeling and dealing himself this morning, making moves. Adam Schefter joins us, and he's brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit rothmanspine.com. Adam, good morning, my friend. How was your night?
Oh, it was peaceful and restful, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, Adam, here's how it happened for me. I had a little issue, couldn't sleep last night, so I got out of bed around 11:30, 12 o'clock, whatever. I made myself a plate of nachos, which I'm regretting this morning, and I'm scrolling Twitter, and there I see you live tweeting the free agency in the NFL and the wheeling and dealing going on. I see it first with Odell Beckham Jr. and then Le'Veon Bell. Were you surprised Le'Veon Bell's deal, or what was your reaction, I should ask? What was your reaction to seeing Le'Veon go for a four-year deal, $35 million guaranteed, 61 max?
Well, first of all, that's what the market bared for him. And, of course, you want to get the maximum deal. And it's a situation where he was out there talking to all teams. He wanted the chance to get the free agency. He got it. I mean, that's what everybody wants, right? You want to know what organizations think of you, what somebody would be willing to pay you. And that's what the market bared. Now, there were other teams that might have had interest. The Baltimore Ravens never made an offer on Le'Veon Bell. Were never interested, despite all the speculation that they were. The 49ers were monitoring it. The Raiders were monitoring it. And the Jets were in it. And that's what we're talking about. And yesterday, his agent was calling around to teams to see if they could get in. And, you know, it gets to a certain point where if the price drops enough, who knows if a team like the Eagles jumps in at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows what other team? Like the call, it could be anybody.
Do you know if the Eagles were kicking the tires at all on Le'Veon?
I don't believe they were. Do I think they were watching it? Probably. That'd be my guess. Mm-hmm. Like that's their job to watch it.
Sure.
And observe it. They do that with everything, right? It's like the Antonio Brown thing that emerged, right? Like, did they tell? Well, yeah, I mean, they're watching it. They're tracking it. Like, could this get to a spot where his price comes down, the Steelers' asking price comes down, that we're going to jump in? It really is very similar where these are great players in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Great players, top talents. And everybody thinks that there's going to be all these teams lined up for them, but there's not, for various reasons.
All right, so looking at the running back position then for the Eagles as we speak with Adam Schefter here, any word if there's any connections here with Tevin Coleman, Jordan Howard, Mark Ingram, any of those names that are still out there?
Well, Mark Ingram, I think we all think will wind up in Baltimore, and that leaves Tevin Coleman and Jordan Howard out there. And I think the Eagles are going to add a running back or two this offseason. Could they make a play for one of them? That definitely could happen. And we'll see how that works out. But that, to me, I expect them to add a running back at some point in time.
When you look at free agency and you look at the way everything's been playing out with the new league year starting, of course, at 4 p.m. today, when you get a tip or you hear something from a source, how exactly does that process go when it's something that you really hadn't been anticipating? For instance, Odell Beckham Jr. gets signed to a record deal, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, the Giants are taking a $6 million cap hit, and they're also taking away one of the best wide receivers in all of football in Odell. What was your reaction to that kind of tip coming your way?
Well, basically, to tell you the background on that, we were on NFL Live yesterday, and to her credit, Josina Anderson talked about the fact that the Giants and an AFC North team, she said, and to Mort's credit, Mort said, well, let's not sugarcoat this, Josina. It's the Browns on air, okay? And they were having discussions yesterday. So we were analyzing, you know, what they would do here. And I'll just say this, that, you know, we thought Cleveland would make a run. I was not expecting that to happen last night. I mean, you know, it's March, whatever it is, 12th, 13th, and the draft's not for another month plus. And I thought at some point in time, that's when it would happen, you know, closer to the draft. But it happened on an accelerated time schedule because the Giants got an offer they liked and the Browns pushed and other teams were calling. And, you know, to me, it just sounded like the Giants were not shopping Odell Beckham Jr., but they were actively listening.
I'm just going to go off of the, you know, get off away from the players for a quick sec, because not only do you drop the news with the players, you also drop the news about Le'Veon Bell's album coming out.
Well, I didn't drop that news, but yes, we were tracking it, and I'm not a music critic, but obviously he put a lot of work into that, and I will say this, that last night at that time, we were waiting to see, is he going to have some rap album that where he says, and I'm going to play for the Jets, and there's some kind of rap lyrics in relation to that. You know, I really thought that could happen, but it didn't. And shortly thereafter, word broke that he was going to be going to the New York Jets.
Go figure. Go figure.
Jeff, how do you grade the Eagles and what they've done so far? You know, not just free agency, but obviously the trade for DeSean Jackson. Where do you think they are, and what glaring needs do you still think they have? I know you mentioned running back, but elsewhere also.
I think that it's a situation where they've made an emphasis. They've really made an effort to bring back their own players. And I think they've done a great job of that, right? They've retained the guys that they've wanted to retain. And look, you know, like I said, the new league year starts at 4 o'clock today, and then you'll start seeing some moves. But to me, they've done what they're supposed. They're always so aggressive, always. And so that's been the case here again. And, you know, they're charting all these guys, and they're waiting to see which guys represent good values and what they could get, and how it's done like that. But if you look at it so far, basically, they have re-signed Brandon Graham. They've brought in Malik Jackson. They've traded for DeSean Jackson. They've re-signed Jason Peters. They've re-signed Jake Elliott. I mean, that's a pretty good start by and large. They traded Michael Bennett. So they have really put some effort into the defensive line. They brought back another playmaker. Kept Jason Peters in place. Kept the special teams kicker in place. And that's what they're supposed to do. And we know they're not done. We just know they're not done.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Adam Schefter, of course, ESPN, and speaking of not being done with bringing in DeSean Jackson, there's been some speculation, Adam, about possibly shopping Nelson Agholor around. Have you heard anything to that effect?
No, they're going to keep him. They like him. There's no intent right now to trade Nelson Agholor. And I think that, I know there's been some speculation about that, but as it was explained to me, that basically, it's a situation where they like him an awful lot, and they plan to keep him.
Any word on Golden Tate and where he could end up?
Not yet. again, we've been, you know, people want answers to these things. And the New League Yards and Circus, there's been so many,
sure,
so many deals. So, I've even gotten texts on Golden Tate. I haven't gotten any teams on him yet.
Quite yet. Now, we were talking a lot through the offseason, as you would expect, about Nick Foles and where he'd end up. It'll become officially, as they say, at 4 p.m. Jaguars, $88 million max deal there. That's what it could reach. I believe around $50 million guaranteed for Nick Foles. Was that about what you would see him getting or saw him getting, or is it a little more, a little less?
You know what? Again, people wondering why the Jaguars did that and why they pay him so much money. Why did they do that when there was no competition? As was explained to me, he views himself as a starting quarterback, wants to fit in. If Jacksonville was going to treat him as a number one quarterback, he was going to move on. And that's why they stepped up and paid him what they did, because they felt like they had to show him the respect of a number one quarterback. And I know it sounds kind of crazy because, well, you say, well, why doesn't Le'Veon Bell, you know, why didn't he want the respect of being the highest paid running back? Well, you know, again, the market bear what it did for him. And number one quarterbacks do get paid. And Nick Foles could have said, hey, Jacksonville, you're not going to pay me $22 million. I'm going back to Philadelphia, or I'm going to move on somewhere else.
Right. Now, there's a couple of deals that backed out at the last minute. Anthony Barr was one of them. Do you see anything like that happening, or things pretty solid going into 4 p.m.?
Wow. Well, you know, yesterday I was getting grumblings about that, and I'll just say this. He's not the only player I've heard that about. He's not the only one that I've heard that about. But that's why when you report these things, you say that this guy intends to sign, and then a league year doesn't open until 4 o'clock, and the trades and deals and signings don't become official till that time. So we'll see if anybody else changes their mind.
All right, so the new league year starts, Adam Schefter, at 4 p.m. today. So does that mean you sleep, what, next February? When do you get some break? When do you get a break?
You know, honestly, the last week has been crazy. I think, look, there's still a lot of moves to be made, but I think the craziness is really, I mean, the new league year begins today, and we've got Le'Veon Bell playing for the Jets, Odell Beckham Jr. playing for the Browns, Antonio Brown playing for the Raiders. I mean, that in and of itself is strange enough.
Just one last thing I was going to ask you, some talk about Earl Thomas, possibly, what, the Cowboys? I saw something on that. Have you heard anything to that effect or anything else, big splash maybe in the NFC East?
Well, again, the Redskins signed Landon Collins. The Eagles have made a number of moves. The Cowboys are focused on their own players. The Giants have made a splash. I mean, the NFC East is always making splash moves. That's not a surprise. It always happens that way. And I think it's already happened again. Like, you're not going to get splashier than Odell Beckham Jr.
Sure.
You know, the Redskins are the Redskins, and, you know, basically altering the safety market and the salary structure of it, paying $14 million a year for Landon Collins. The Philadelphia Eagles are doing exactly what they do, being aggressive. And the Cowboys are handcuffed because they've got to extend DeMarcus Lawrence, pay Dak Prescott, pay Zeke Elliott, pay Amari Cooper, pay Jalen Smith. And you can't pay all these guys and then think, oh, let me go make Earl Thomas the highest paid safety in football. It's just not going to happen that way.
Absolutely. Adam Schefter, ESPN. Oh, and I trust the fantasy basketball team is still doing well.
I am in the playoffs this week.
There you go.
Not a boy.
Right. Well, but it is a tightly contested match against a team I've struggled with. I need my men to step up this week, so we'll see.
Well, JJ got you 17 last night.
No, JJ's not on the team anymore.
Oh, yeah. What happened to JJ?
Well, the guy I'm playing this week, he's got like Devin Booker and Damian Lillard and a bunch of 3-point free throw specialists, and that really is what JJ was helping me. But I was going to catch this guy, so I have great respect for JJ as a player, but. I had to move on from
Adam. It's a business
for rebounds and steals.
Adam, it's a business. It's a business, man.
And I know JJ understands that.
Adam, I'll talk to him on Friday, Schefter, and I'll try to let him down easy.
Yeah, please do. I mean, I don't know how he's going to recover from the fact that I released him. I just needed help. I needed help in different areas, right? So, like, the Giants needed help on their offensive line, and it cost them Olivier Vernon. That's the way, you know, sometimes you got to give up something to get something. Right. That's what I did.
I think Adam cut him because he saw JJ's new haircut and was like, I can't have it on my team.
Yeah. Schefter's a big hair guy.
Adam Schefter, always great talking to you, my man. Thanks so much.
Guys, have a great day.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Take it easy, man. Appreciate it. Time at the Fanatic, 8:43.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Tyler Zuli on the updates for you today. 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to another man from ESPN. This one of ESPN.com covers the Giants. First question is Jordan Renan is going to be, what the hell are they doing? Not that I'm mad. And Pro Football Talk actually just put this Twitter poll out themselves. Hey, Giants fans, and only Giants fans, who would you rather get rid of, Eli Manning or Odell Beckham Jr.? Yeah, Eli's running away with that one thus far. Mateo, Center City, thanks for holding, brother. What's going on? Yo, Mateo. Come on, brah. Seriously with that? You've been holding that long? Dwayne Richmond, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I was listening to you guys this morning, and I kind of disagree with what you guys said about the running back position and just needing a good offensive line to get a running back.
Okay.
I think the Eagles really messed up with that for the past 3 years. I think if we had a running game during the playoffs, I think we could have went a little bit further.
They won the Super Bowl.
Right. They won the Super Bowl with LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
And Corey Clement.
A guy they traded for and a guy they signed in free agency and a guy they picked up off the undrafted free agent list.
Right. So your comment was you think running back is going away. It's not.
No. I did not say that. I did not say running back is going away. I said the investment in running back is going away.
Okay. Well, then I heard you wrong, and I definitely apologize.
No, don't need to apologize, yeah. Man. We say but a lot of stuff in 4 hours. You can't understand it all.
Yeah, but I really want them to invest in a running back, and like us caller was saying, if you see one in the first round, if the chips fall and stuff like that, get one. Because, even with Nick Foles, it was a balanced attack. That's why he was successful. You threw the ball 30 times, ran it 29 times. When Carson Wentz came in, it was something different. So most of the teams that are balanced and have a running game, they're going far in the playoffs and possibly to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we need to be dynamic at every position, not just wide receiver, not just tight end. We need a running back that's a threat. I'm not saying he got to be Zeke or Saquon. Look at the Giants. They don't have an offensive line, but Saquon is special. He has good vision, good burst, good cut. So I just think the Eagles need to stop playing, and give them a running back.
No, Dwayne, who's that in the background, my friend?
That's my daughter. She's waiting on her breakfast.
Well, go.
She wants a running back, too.
Yeah, now look, I'm going to put you in the running for our 76ers tickets on the 28th there. So you can also attend to your daughter as well. But, Trey, do you feel like running back, the positions, it's not like fullback where that's going away, it seems like, mm-hmm. but running back is still a position that you got to have on a team. I'm just saying that it looks like the investment in that running back is for a very select few.
Yeah, it's not as high, unless you have one of those guys that are just, oh my God, you have to take him, then yeah. But I mean, when you look at someone like a Saquon Barkley or, man, right now my mind just
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley.
$14 million last year.
Yeah, you have some of those guys out there that's those generational running backs. But for the most part, you can find some good talent later on in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more pressed to make sure that the offensive line depth is more up to par because, at the end of the day, if you don't have anybody to open up the holes, I don't care who you put back there.
Of course. Yeah. No, the thing that I worry about is if you look at their history, Josh Adams and Corey Clement have been undrafted guys that they got and actually gave them a couple of good games. Corey Clement gave him a phenomenal game in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. had a lot of injury issues last year. Josh Adams, we talked about this yesterday, seemed like he got slower to the line of scrimmage as the season really went on. Yeah. Had that the bad fumble, I forget who it was against, but had that maybe against the Texans, and then they didn't really trust him with the football that much more after that. Is running back a position you'd say the Eagles are actually going to invest in one of their first three picks? They have one first-round pick. They have two second-round picks.
Probably in the second round. Maybe second or third round. But I don't know.
I'm almost hesitant to do it because they haven't had success in drafting a running back since LeSean McCoy, and that was before Howie was calling the shots.
Yeah. It would have to be somebody, and I'm not as familiar with all of the college players that are coming out. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know. They say, all right, yeah, we're going to take... I'm pretty sure they wouldn't take one in the first.
Right. Well, it's funny because I kind of was going through mock drafts. It's not a heavy running back draft either. Yeah. Like, the one name that was always going around the Eagles, and I like this guy, I got the guy Jacobs from Alabama. Yeah. He's projected to be the first running back taken now, and that's later in the first round. And then you have to go like into the second round in some of these mock drafts before another running back is taken. It's also an Alabama running back.
Let's get Jason up here in Philly. Jason, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jason?
Not much. I'm glad. I just want to talk about the Sixers a little bit.
Yeah, please.
You guys have been talking about turnovers. Obviously, that was a great topic because it seems like it's the deciding factor between them and some of the top five teams in the league that we struggle playing against.
Yeah. 21 last night.
I know. And it doesn't... I think they need to have an intervention from Denzel Washington. Coach Boone, he needs to come in with his "you're killing me, Petey" speech. And he needs to set him down and talk to our big three because they're playing aggressive. They're doing a lot of the things. And they all have pretty good vision, obviously. But they're still struggling with turnovers. And... just kind of add your take on that.
Well, the take has been Joel Embiid had six of those last night, but was able to turn it on late. 6 of 16 shooting is another thing that JoJo did before the final couple minutes of that game. But Ben has been inconsistent. I mean, he's had five turnovers the other night. He had seven the night before or the night after that. Only two last night, so that was good. And then he had one a couple of nights ago. That's been erratic with him. He has been the guy that I want to yell at most, obviously, because he's controlling the basketball the most, to be more cautious with that and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.